Listening Comprehension, Part 3. You will hear a lecture. A friend has asked you to make notes during the lecture as he cannot be there to hear it. You will hear the lecture only once. While listening, make notes in the spaces for item 94. After the recording, you'll have time to transfer your notes to the answer sheet S5. You will now have 1 minute to read the task.
Hello and welcome to the Learning Every Day lecture series. It's great to see so many of you here, especially as the weather is so wonderful outside. We'll have a break at about 10:45, so you can go outside and enjoy some vitamin D. Okay. As you know, today's speaker is Paul Jenkins. Paul is the head of public relations for the Fair Trade Association in the UK. He's going to talk to us about fair trade. So please welcome Paul Jenkins.
Thanks, Carol. Now, as Carol said, I am the spokesman for the Fair Trade Association here in the UK. And I'm delighted to have been invited to speak to you all today. The fair trade movement has grown considerably over the last few years, but it has actually been around for longer than most people think. I plan to look first at what fair trade actually is. Then I'll give you some background about it and also describe the role of the fair trade organisations here in the UK and Europe. And lastly, I'll tell you about a key project supported by fair trade and how it has benefited the farmers and communities involved. So first of all, what is fair trade? Fair trade is really what it says it is, fair trading. Fair trade organisations create opportunities for producers and farmers in developing countries who have been economically disadvantaged by the conventional trading system. They help these farmers and producers to learn skills which will help them in the future and encourage them to work independently. Very importantly, fair trade organisations pay producers fairly and also treat men and women equally. Working conditions are also important. They must be safe and healthy. And lastly, fair trade actively encourages better environmental practices and responsible methods of production. For example, organic farming. You may be familiar with the Fair Trade mark, a symbol found on certain products in your local supermarket. Chocolate, perhaps, bananas or coffee. This symbol tells us that the product has been produced and traded fairly. As a consumer, you can then choose to buy coffee from an organisation which supports its producers and gives them a fair deal. Fair trade products are often a little bit more expensive for consumers, but many people choose to buy them because they want to help farmers in developing countries live better lives and support their families. For me, fair trade is a sign of hope. It proves that greater justice in world trade is possible. It highlights the need for change in conventional trading and shows how successful businesses can also put people first. So now you know what it is. Where did it all begin? Well, some people say that the Americans were first with an organization called 10,000 Villages, which began buying needlework from Puerto Rico in 1946. 10 years later, the first formal fair trade shop, which sold these and other items, opened in the USA. Fair trade in Europe dates from the late 1950s, when the charitable organization Oxfam UK started to sell crafts made by Chinese refugees in Oxfam shops. In 1964, it created the first official fair trade organization. At the same time, Dutch third world groups began to sell cane sugar with the message, "By buying cane sugar, you give people in poor countries a place in the sun of prosperity." These groups went on to sell handicrafts from the developing world, and in 1969, the first world shop opened. There are now many such shops throughout Europe. In 1973, the first fairly traded coffee was imported to Europe from cooperatives of small farmers in Guatemala. Over the next 30 years, this gradually became a concept, with hundreds of thousands of coffee farmers benefiting from it. Now, fair trade coffee makes up between 25 and 50% of the turnover of fair trade organizations in Europe today. Which brings me back to the fair trade mark I mentioned earlier. In the mid-1980s, a priest working with smallholder coffee farmers in Mexico had the idea of using some kind of system to identify fair trade products. Products bought, traded, and sold fairly would qualify for a label that would make them stand out among ordinary products on store shelves. In 1988, the Fair Trade Mark was created. The concept caught on. Within a year, coffee with the label had a market share of almost 3%. So, what else do we do today? Well, the fair trade movement raises consumer awareness about the problems caused by conventional trade. Each product sold includes information about its production, the producers, and their conditions of living. In effect, fair trade organizations have the role of encouraging consumers to campaign for more global justice. We're also very involved in advocacy work. The Fair Trade Association in the UK produces many documents and campaign materials and organizes public events. Here in Europe, we have benefited from political structures which allow us to centralize our work. An important tool was the establishment of the Fine Advocacy Office in Brussels, which focuses on influencing European policymakers. So, now you know a little about what fair trade is, how it started, and some of the work we do. I would now like to give you just one example of a project in which fair trade has had a positive effect on the communities it has helped. These are my favorite stories, because they show what can be achieved when people work together and support each other. The project involves a group of fair trade banana farmers in the Dominican Republic. You probably all know that the Dominican Republic is a very poor country. A great number of children there end up living on the streets. 3 years ago, a man called Roberto Luis, who was a volunteer baseball coach in his village, wrote a letter to his local newspaper saying that he believed the village children would be better off on the baseball pitch than on the street. A fair trade banana farmer, Jose Mendoza, happened to read the paper on that day and agreed. So he decided to help. For every box of bananas that is sold to the fair trade market, farmers receive a bonus sum which they must put towards community projects. Jose Mendoza persuaded his fellow farmers to put this money towards free uniforms for local baseball teams. The farmers provided uniforms for 6 local baseball teams, 3 teams of children, 1 team of women, and 2 teams of men. Baseball is the national sport in the Dominican Republic, and becoming a league player is every child's dream. It offers a route out of poverty. It also has a beneficial effect on all children, whether they go on to become league players or not. It gives them physical strength and hope. In the words of Jose Mendoza, sport makes a child grow up straight. It gives them a healthy mind in a healthy body. I visited the farmers last year and also met the baseball coach Roberto Lewis. He's a very kind, gentle man of about 60. He told me how much he felt the children had benefited from the free uniforms. He said that wearing them gave them pride in themselves and their village, and that they felt they were part of something bigger, a part of the community. More and more children are joining the baseball team every year, and it is keeping them off the streets. The fair trade farmers are rightly proud of what their contribution has achieved. So, that is one example of the way fair trade can help a community. Well, I've now reached the end of my talk today. I hope this has given you some useful insights. 30 years ago, fair trade was a small, insignificant movement which had little influence on society as a whole. Today, it is a powerful movement which keeps on growing and which cannot be ignored. Thank you very much for listening.
Well, thank you, Paul, for such an interesting lecture this morning. We still have about 5 minutes before we go outside for a coffee and some sunshine. So let's use the time for some questions. Who'd like to get the ball rolling?
You will now have 10 minutes to transfer your notes to the answer sheet S5.